Well, today is the second Sunday in Lent. I had to make sure I was right about that. It's true. And Lent, of course, is the 40-day period leading up to Easter. And it commemorates the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness, you know, being tempted by the devil immediately following his baptism. Now, quick reminder, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. It was at the very southern end of that river, not too far from Jerusalem. Kurt, I should have my flip chart up here to draw that map that you love so much. I should have done that. It would have been helpful. But you can picture the Jordan River all the way at the southern end. That's where he was baptized, not too far from Jerusalem or Bethany. And you remember, God the Father was present there for that event. He spoke out loud. And God the Spirit was there, descending like a dove. Yeah, the whole Trinity was right there for that fabulous event. But then the Son, Jesus, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, when we think of the wilderness, the word wilderness, what do you think of? What did you say? Woods, that's what I think of. When I think of wilderness, I think of woods or trees or the forest or something, right? No, that's not what this was. In this case, the wilderness was the desert, the Judean desert, northwest a little bit. Where's my flip chart, Kurt, when I need it, right? The northwest Judean desert, that's where he was. That was the wilderness, was the desert, dry and rocky. And that's where Jesus was for 40 days and nights in the desert without food, being tempted by the devil. And so he was being put to the test for this period. And of course, he emerged perfectly unscathed. And the devil was sent packing. The devil retreated away. And this is what we celebrate during this season of Lent. But our readings today and our very brief lesson today focuses on what happened immediately following this event. Because what we have now is really the very beginning of his three-year ministry. And it's interesting that it begins in his hometown. Okay, let's look first at our reading from the prophet Isaiah, right? Some 700 years, 750, before Jesus came on the scene. In chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, he says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to," like this, "bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." And then it says, "to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Okay, Isaiah was talking about a coming Messiah, someone God promised would turn things around for the people who were struggling, people who were hurting. And guess what? That promise was kept, and it came true in the man of Jesus Christ. Okay, so fast forward 700 years or so to our gospel reading today from Luke chapter 4. Jesus is back in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, and he picks up a scroll. He reads this exact passage from Isaiah, and he sits down and he says this. He says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I mean, he was claiming it for himself. He was saying to these local guys, "I am the fulfillment of this scripture." Pretty bold move. Was it difficult for those local guys to accept that? Yes, right? Yeah. Why? How did they react to that? What did they say? Remember? He said, isn't this Joseph's son? Sort of understand that, right? You can get that. That's how they reacted, sure. They had a different perspective than we have. Because here we are today, I think we can more objectively break down the Isaiah prophecy and see how it fits better. See how it actually fits. They couldn't really do that. I don't blame them too much for that. Okay, first off, let's look at it. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. So remember, at Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove. And God says, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased, right? I mean, Jesus clearly was and is the anointed one. Just as the prophecy said. He's the anointed one, the Messiah. Okay, then it goes on to say, to proclaim good news to the poor. And this isn't just referring to or about folks without money, like me. Yeah. No, it's about anyone feeling, you know, empty inside or weighed down by the challenges of life or by sin or guilt. Jesus' message was pure good news. It was the gospel for everyone. I mean, remember, he hung out with everyone. He hung out with tax collectors like Matthew. He healed lepers that no one else would touch. He chatted with the Samaritan woman at the well, no one else would talk to. And in his Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I mean, through him, we get salvation as a gift. No strings attached. And that's the good news. That is the gospel. Okay, and then next, back to Isaiah. Next, and I love this one. Isaiah says this. He says, to bind up the brokenhearted. A nice line. And that's the key, isn't it? This is really the key. Jesus came to fix what is broken. To heal the sick. To save the lost, as he said. To condemn? No. He specifically said, not that. That's not why I came. You know, think of one of our favorite examples, Mary Magdalene. I mention her all the time because it's true all the time. She was freed. She was set free from demons. 7 of them, I think it was, right? And she recovered. She was set free and she recovered, and she turned into a fearless witness for Jesus Christ. She didn't run away. No, that was her. And that's the story, healing, forgiving, and setting us free. This was and is the mission of a Savior, our Savior. And finally, it says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And what is that? And how was it fulfilled in Jesus? Well, this is like the Jubilee year in the Old Testament. It's the year when debts are wiped out, slaves are set free, and everything is sort of reset. Jesus started a spiritual jubilee of God's kindness, God's goodness and mercy being poured out. And through his life, death, and resurrection, we step into this favor, this jubilee. Our sins are gone, and eternal life is ahead, is waiting for us. And so in closing, we have the benefit here today of the Gospels and a perspective that the local people in Nazareth, they just didn't quite have 2,000 years ago. Isaiah's words weren't just nice poetry or abstract reflections on a scroll. No, Jesus fulfilled them. He brought them to life. And he did it for you and for me. And he's saying to us right now, right here in this lovely little church, he's saying, if you feel broken, I want to fix you. If you feel lost, I want to save you. And if you feel unwanted, I want you. Amen.
Amen.